Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. If you're expecting or thinking about getting pregnant, do you know everything you need to know about maternal health? Well, often for Black women, that isn't the case. This is Black Maternal Health Week, and for our Medical Monday conversation, we're sharing as much information as we can to make sure you and your baby are healthy. My guests are Dr. E.U.K. Boyle, Associate Director of Training and Engagement Strategy with the Centers of Excellence with the Howard University College of Medicine, and Dr. Monique Rainford, OBGYN, and author of Pregnant While Black, Advancing Justice for Maternal Health in America. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Rainford, Dr. Boyle, thank you both for joining the conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Let me first start with a bit of information for you, Dr. Rainford. Black women, according to the CDC, are three times more likely to die from a pregnancy-related cause than white women. In Washington, D.C., for example, Black women account for more than 90% of pregnancy-related deaths. Your thoughts about those numbers, Dr. Rainford?
They're disturbing as they sound, and unfortunately, they don't appear to be getting better, at least in the short term. And that is was a large part of my motivation to write the book, Pregnant While Black.
Your thoughts about that, Dr. Boyle?
Yes, as Dr. Rainford said, the Black maternal health rates in D.C. are not showing any signs of slowing down. Maternal mortality is a crisis, especially in the D.C. area, and it's heavily concentrated in Ward 7 and Ward 8 in D.C. Mm-hmm. And we need to all come together from different agencies, different backgrounds and expertise in order to find some solutions.
Dr. Rainford, can you give me some information on why you believe this is so problematic for Black women? You know, what is it that Black women need to know about maternal health?
Well, it's really multifactorial. There are different reasons why, for example, Black women might go into pregnancy being sicker, but also they get less quality care. So not, they may have health, and so even if they're healthy going in, they may receive less quality care, or they may be exposed to influences throughout the pregnancy that affect their care in a negative manner. So basically, Black women need to know how to take care of themselves as best they can. They need the tools to find the right clinicians to take care of them. And they really need a village around them to support them in pregnancy so that we can help them have the best possible outcome and try to reverse this trend.
Influences, what kind of influences?
So in terms of different influences, in terms of what affects their health in a negative manner, we can start with, okay, say the less quality care. Something called implicit bias is us unconscious or subconscious bias that can cause someone, a clinician, to give less good quality care, lower quality care, I should say, to a Black woman versus a white woman, and that person does not even realize they're giving less quality care. So that's implicit bias, and that can happen to any Black woman. And then there are different effects over time that can cause Black women to have a biological age about 10 years greater than their chronological age. Some of these factors include something called weathering. And what that is the wear and tear on the body by chronic stressors, and that can cause an aging of about 10 years. There's also something called, adverse childhood experiences, for example. So Black people in America are exposed to more adverse childhood experiences than others. And these adverse childhood experiences can cause them to have higher risk of certain health conditions, which could also compromise their health leading up to pregnancy. And there's more. There's something called epigenetic changes. And these are changes, they're not on the genes, but it's how the genes work or are expressed. And these changes can be passed from generation to generation. And so some of these changes can cause Black women to be at risk for certain health conditions. Again, coronary heart disease, certain conditions like that. And the roots of that is from stressors in pregnancy, stressors related to racism, probably Jim Crow, and that can be passed from generation to generation. So some of the Black women of today have those negative effects from the racist practices and racism of yesteryear on top of what's happening today.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our Medical Monday conversation is about Black women and maternal health. Do you know everything you need to know about your pregnancy? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Boyle, I know that Howard University is doing some partnerships with the District of Columbia this week as we move into Black Maternal Health Week. Talk to me about not only what's being done, and this is not necessarily new because the District of Columbia government has been talking about this issue for many, many years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so Black Maternal Health Week is a nationally recognized week that was started by the Black Mamas Matter Alliance in 2018. So this is technically the sixth year, and this is the first time that Howard University is putting on some programming for this week. And so we at the Howard University Centers of Excellence, we are funded by DC Health, and our goal is to increase access to healthcare and enhance health equity across the district. And so we are partnering with dozens of community organizations over the next several days to not just raise awareness, but to come together, bring everyone to the table, and start to figure out how can we work together to address this crisis.
Mm-hmm. How can people find out more about the events that are going on? Because as you said, it really kind of starts tomorrow, but this is going on all week, and there are events here, there, and everywhere.
Yes. There's an article in The Dig, which is the Howard University online publication that summarizes the week. And if you Google the Howard University Centers of Excellence, I think you can find some more information about that.
Okay. What is it that you hope will come out of this week with this partnership? I know education information, that's the obvious thing, but more specifically, drill down a little bit more with me about what you hope to see come out of it.
I personally hope to see a lot of really sustained and engaged relationships. So, for example, one of our events is going to be the Ward 8 Maternal Health Summit, which is this Wednesday from 1 to 4 p.m., and it's going to be held at the Well at Ox and Run in Ward 8. And I really hope that since we are having over 35 organizations throughout the district, including health centers, community organizations, nonprofits, I hope that all of those organizations, in addition to D.C. residents, in addition to the Black moms in Ward 8, that we can have conversations about what needs to actually happen to see statistical significant change. So conversations that lead to partnerships is what I'm hoping.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about Black Maternal Health on this Medical Monday. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. The doctors are in. Let's go to Parker calling from Arlington, Virginia. Parker, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm calling in because I just listened to the doctor's reasoning as to why the rate of Black women dying during childbirth is so high, and she's listing sociocultural issues. That's not the issue. The standard of care in hospitals for Black women is less than it is for any other race. I just experienced this traumatic experience with my firstborn child. The sad part is I had doctors and nurses telling me that my child was going to die if I didn't allow them to induce me at 36 weeks. They would refuse to allow me to go to 38 weeks or 40. Black women are being induced at a higher rate before their babies are allowed to develop. On top of that, yes, we don't have proper nutrition within the Black community. Organic sources, fair trade foods are harder to source. So it makes it difficult for us to have healthy diet habits, and we're not getting that proper nutritional counseling when we go to the doctor. I have friends of other races who have had their doctor tell them at 36 weeks, go home, walk for a bit. Don't worry. When you feel it, you feel it. When your water breaks, you just call us and we'll meet you at the hospital. That is not the way they talk to Black women. They are forceful. They are rude. There's no tact. They do not allow you to make your own choice. They make those choices for you. This is why Black women are not surviving their child labor.
Thank you so much for your comment, Parker. Dr. Rainford, your thoughts about what Parker just shared with us?
I think she shared important thoughts because there are multiple parts of the problem. So there's implicit bias that talks about, which compromises the care that Black women receive. But I didn't even mention overt biases. So not just implicit bias for those who mean well, so to speak, but there's people who are overtly biased who will give less quality care. Also, she raised another point about the quality of the hospitals. She's absolutely right. Black women have care, or the majority of Black women get care in hospitals that are poor quality. And that has been proven in different studies in different locations. So some of the locations that Black women go to, not only do they get, do those locations deliver poor quality care to whoever goes there, but including Black women, but sometimes Black women will go to these better quote-unquote quality care facilities and get poor quality care. She talked about induction. In terms of Black women overall getting more induction, not necessarily, but that being said, they may be getting inductions when they, not getting inductions when they probably should get inductions and potentially getting induced when they don't need to get induced. So I think that's an important point. Whether it's overall more, I have not seen studies to support that per se, but in terms of inappropriate use, that sounds reasonable. The other thing she mentioned, she talked about nutrition, and that is highly important. And she's right. A lot of Black women don't have access to the proper nutrition, but there is study after study supporting that improved nutrition in pregnancy can literally reduce the risk of multiple different outcomes. Namely, I've seen research to support reductions in preterm birth, preeclampsia, low birth weight. So nutrition can play a big role, but of course, Black women need access to this nutrition and they need support in how to like prepare healthy foods. And to be quite honest, I talked a lot about that in my book. And Black women can't do this alone. They need support. And they can't go to a hospital. They can't choose a hospital they go to many times. So sometimes they're forced to go to hospitals that are poor quality because there's no choice. And that's why we need much more investment in the health of Black women. So I think she raised some important points that I didn't flesh out yet. And I really appreciate her comments.
I would also add that what Parker is speaking to is that we need to really invest in culturally competent medical health professionals. I know we do that here at Howard University and many other HBCUs and other minority serving institutions, but the investment can't just be with us. It has to be across medical schools and universities across the country.
But I think she, you know, she pushed back on the social and cultural issue. But if I heard correctly from both of you, it isn't just the medical, substandard medical care. It is indeed the social and cultural issue, Dr. Rainford, that is problematic, because it would appear to me that if your health provider is not, as Dr. Boyle just pointed out, culturally aware, if they are not understanding of some of the, the social issues, from, your specific community or even broader community, that could very well lead to substandard care. I don't have a PhD or an OBGYN, but it just seems like common sense to me, Dr. Rainford.
Social cultural issues matter. Structural racism matters. All that negatively impacts Black maternal health care. And in terms of, say, a cultural issue, I'll share a story. A few years ago, a patient was in the hospital, 30 weeks pregnant, a hospital, obviously I won't say the name, seizure disorders, and she was told that she needed to stop driving. And she didn't want to stop driving, and the nurse couldn't understand, why doesn't she want to stop driving? Doesn't she not care about her baby, her child, her pregnancy, her safety? When I went back in the room and spoke to that patient, it was an African-American patient, she shared her job is a driver. If she loses her job, she loses her housing. If she loses her housing, her children will have no housing. So we do need to understand the social and cultural context that Black women live in and what they have to face. And we do need to understand also that, yes, structural issues, social issues compromise the care of Black women in different ways. So it is not just, although, yes, the point was important, but it's not just a matter of the hospital being poor quality, which they are, to be clear. It's not just a matter of access to healthy food, which is an issue, to be clear, but it's multiple issues that are tied together to just lead to worse outcome overall.
I need to take a break, but we are going to continue this conversation about Black maternal health. The doctors are in. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be taking your calls all the way up until 8 o'clock. But don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. And don't forget, you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Also, of course, this program can be heard via podcast after 8:30 tonight. And there will be links to this week's Black maternal health events in the District of Columbia. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. Gary, calling from Montgomery County. We're going to be talking to you next. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. I'm Harold Fisher. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is Black Maternal Health Week, and for our Medical Monday conversation, we are sharing as much information as we can to make sure you and your baby are healthy. My guests are Dr. Eve K. Boyle, Associate Director of Training and Engagement Strategy with the Centers of Excellence with the Howard University College of Medicine, and Dr. Monique Rainford, OBGYN, and author of Pregnant While Black, Advancing Justice for Maternal Health in America. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Gary, calling from Montgomery County, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I just want to comment on the topic here.
Sure, go right ahead.
Young ladies. Yeah, it's just that they treat African-American women poorly, especially when the dad is not present. I notice that they get treated differently than when the dad is present. And I think most of them are just overworked and maybe too many moms having babies to handle the staff at the hospital. So I just think that that's my comment, because I experienced it on hand with my son being born. And that's just what I have to say.
Okay, Gary, thank you so much. Dr. Boyle, you were nodding your head while Gary was speaking. Your thoughts about what he was sharing?
Well, we were talking about these social cultural factors, and sexism is another one, right? It's not just racism and biases about what you look like in terms of race and ethnicity. It's also your gender and how you're perceived that way. That's also going to affect how you were treated.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that's happening this week, looking at the schedule, and there's a lot happening this week with the partnership with the D.C. government and Howard University. But one of the things I think is really kind of interesting is this one piece that is more holistic and Less Medical, Doulas 101 and Yoga at Martha's Table. That's happening on Thursday. Talk to me about that. Why is that important? And for the uninitiated, what's a doula?
Yes, a doula is a birth worker. So a doula can actually be, there are several different kinds. There are death doulas, abortion doulas, birth doulas. A doula is somebody who is with you throughout a birth doula is with you throughout your pregnancy and labor journey, and they can be really useful as an advocate for you in the hospital when you're at your prenatal care visits. They can make sure you're sticking to any care regimens that your physician and maybe your midwife will be creating for you. So the event that we're having with Martha's Table is to both be educational. So one of our Howard University perinatal health specialists, her name is Erin Clark, she'll be providing some information to Martha's Table participants about what a doula is, how can you find one in the district, particularly at low cost. And then we wanted to pair this with something that would be restorative and relaxing for the moms that attend, so we're also going to hold that yoga session afterward.
Sounds interesting, because one of the things you said was, you know, if they are kind of, you know, helping you along, then they know some of the questions to perhaps ask that you do not.
Yes, they can help you advocate for yourself at the doctor, which is a huge issue for especially a lot of women face. Speaking to that last caller who said that women, typically the mothers cannot, without their partner there, they may be less inclined to be treated well and to advocate for themselves. So a doula can help you do that.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Rainford, help me with something, because, you know, Dr. Boyle just mentioned something about midwifery. And, you know, for a lot of black women who are thinking about becoming pregnant or are pregnant, and sometimes they would prefer to go the midwife route and have a natural childbirth at home as opposed to perhaps going to a hospital. But, you know, as an OBGYN and an expert in this field, how do you balance the wishes of a mother when those are the two options that they are choosing between?
Okay. So that's a lot to unpack, so I will take it piece by piece.
Sure.
And just a word about doulas. Doulas are great. I think that every black pregnant person should have a doula. I think it is one of the key tools to make a difference. But going back to midwifery care is important, and actually it can improve certain outcomes. For example, there's some research to suggest that midwifery care can reduce preterm birth. That being said, sometimes a black mom might start with a midwife, and because of certain risk factors that develop during their pregnancy or that they've had before, for example, surgery for fibroids, for example, they may not be able to continue with a midwife, and they may have to go into the care of an obstetrician or a high-risk obstetrician. If they remain low risk, you ask about, can they deliver at home? So currently, the American College of OBGYN does not advocate or recommend for home birth, because generally speaking, the research suggests that they're not as safe. In terms of black women in particular, I'm not aware of extensive research that examined it in black women in particular, or if they've had certain risk factors, it's likely not a good idea, like if they've had a previous cesarean section, because of course they have a risk of the scar separating, uterine rupturing, and that could need emergency surgery. And if they're at home, then obviously that cannot happen right away. So as an OBGYN, I don't advocate for home birth because of what the college recommends. I can understand why black women may feel they want that option, because they're not comfortable with the alternative that's presented to them. And right now, it is not great. So it's a difficult decision. I do think what we need to do is improve the alternatives, improve the hospital care delivery system. If we do have birth centers for black women, or serving black women predominantly are more culturally sensitive to the needs of black women, we do need them to partner with hospitals so that if emergency surgery is needed, that can happen quickly and safely. So I think that there definitely needs to be better options for Black women. But for now, based on what I know, I cannot advocate for home birth, but I can advocate for a woman with the right risk factors, a pregnant person with the right risk factors, or low risk factors, I should say. Midwifery care can be a very good option, as long as that midwife is culturally sensitive and values the care of Black women.
And just to summarize what Dr. Rainford said, I think you're speaking to the importance of a wraparound care team. You need your obstetrician, you need your doula, your midwife, a social worker in some cases. They can all be part of your care team to help you have a safe and healthy pregnancy and birth.
Mm-hmm. How do you improve the health care for Black women when it comes to maternal health, Dr. Rainford? And we're not just talking about just the health of the mother, but we're also talking about the health of the child. Are we talking about more investment in hospitals with birth centers, as you call them? Where are the first steps taken?
I believe the first step starts even before the Black pregnant person, the Black pregnant woman becomes pregnant. One, she should have preconception care, and that should be covered so that she can see a clinician before pregnancy to decide if she has any risk factors that need to be addressed. For example, if she has high blood pressure, that should be properly treated, appropriately treated, and brought to a safe, normal level or close to normal level. If she has diabetes, that should be treated beforehand. Then the next step is entry into prenatal care. She should try to get into prenatal care ideally before 12 weeks and ideally even before that, so she can be counseled on the right foods to eat, what substances or foods to avoid. She can start her vitamins. We also want to make sure that throughout pregnancy, she's in the care of a culturally sensitive clinician or a clinician who cares about her and wants the best for her and is well informed. And I have to reinforce what Dr. Boyle said about a care team, because it's not just the doctor-patient relationship. There should be social workers and doulas and midwives involved depending on the patient, so that if there are any other services that she needs, those can be addressed as well. She should be facilitated in getting to her visits regularly and being well informed and educated on what she needs every step of the way, and provided with material and, frankly, again, resources support that. And then when she comes to delivery, she wants to go to an environment that which should be safe for her, that which should take care of her. And it shouldn't necessarily be that there has to be a birth center. It's just that I understand why women want those options, but we should be able to give Black women safer care in regular hospitals, any regular hospitals that they should deliver in. So I think the whole, throughout the pregnancy, the whole entire average 39 weeks of pregnancy, and then we care for people after. And you ask about the baby. So if a Black woman has a healthier pregnancy, she gives birth full term to a healthy baby, that sets up a baby for a healthier life. Because if a baby is born preterm, that sets a baby up for more health problems. If a baby is born low birth weight, that sets the baby up for more lifelong health problems as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Boyle, earlier you talked about some of the highest rates for problematic pregnancies in wards 7 and 8. What is or is not going on in D.C.'s Ward 7 and 8 east of the river that would account for that?
Yeah, many of the women and pregnant people in Ward 7 and Ward 8 and within the city, they have some of the most delayed rates of obtaining prenatal care. So we have to figure out what's driving this. Is that because there's a lack of access to transportation or childcare so that they can't make their visits? Is it because they simply do not want that prenatal care, which is I don't think is likely? Is it because they don't know about the affordable, accessible resources that there are at the city? That's probably part of it. So that delayed prenatal care is a big issue. And then all of the other issues that Dr. Rainford was mentioning earlier, these high-risk things that can help you or that can create complications during pregnancy, such as hypertension, which is high blood pressure, or diabetes. These things are also affecting disproportionately the pregnant people in Ward 7 and Ward 8.
Well, and you know, we do know, for example, several years ago, United Medical Center in Southeast, they shut down their birthing center, and I think that is obviously problematic. But even beforehand, problems that they had notwithstanding, to only have one in these two expansive wards would be problematic. And now that there isn't, and then you spoke about transportation and having to travel great distances, I would imagine that would increase not only problems with health, but also stress levels and everything else. If you think, well, golly, if I'm living on, you know, Alabama Avenue, or if I'm living on, you know, off of Minnesota Avenue, for example, and I have to go all the way across the river to Howard University, or all the way out to Prince George's County at the new hospital out there, or all the way out to George Washington University Hospital. I know the hospital's coming. It's coming, it's coming, mm-hmm. it's coming. But as we know, babies don't know anything about that.
Yeah, the babies aren't going to wait.
The baby's coming! You know, it's not going to wait for the hospital, you know. So it would seem to me that that would be an additional problem when you talk about access.
Absolutely. And while we are strengthening our hospital care system in D.C., there are some amazing health centers that are sort of filling those gaps for right now. Community of Hope, Mary Center, they're providing some of the essential prenatal services that can help increase moms', moms' rate of success for giving birth.
You know, Dr. Rainford, talk to me about Pregnant While Black. What prompted you to write this book?
Thanks for the question.
Sure.
In 2016, I was reading more and more on the information about the causes of the health disparities that Black women, Black people in America face. And the interesting thing about it is I knew they existed way back to when I was a medical student many years before, but I kept hearing it was related to poverty, etc. And then 2016, all these articles came out. By the way, it was in the literature before, meaning research articles. It just wasn't in mainstream. And so I kept reading about it and pulled by the information, and I dove in and discovered more and more information about it, and realized that it's just unacceptable, which we all know Dr. Boyle will agree. Then, based on all the information that I had learned and acquired, I was inspired to do a TEDx talk in 2018 about the whole crisis. And that led in 2019 to a friend of mine who's also a book agent approaching me about writing a book on the subject. After some time, because it took some time for the book to be birthed, the book came out, as you know, just right. Tomorrow is official publication date. So it's really a culmination of multiple efforts and discovery into the crisis that Black women face, and multiple efforts to try to keep on exposing that crisis to more and more people, with an aim to promote investment and change, really change. We want things to be better. We want those disparities to be eliminated. So that is the long story.
What did you learn while working on this book?
You know, it's interesting. I had read a lot of the information. What was striking to me, though, is how long we've known this. I was looking back to studies from 1990s, talking about disparities, talking about reasons for disparities. I was thinking, 1990s, 2016, 2017, why did it take so long for some of this information to come to light in the way it has? And I think that was the part that bothers me, that bothered me, it shouldn't have taken that long. But that being said, we're here, we're talking about it. And now I hope that we won't just forget about it. I hope that the intervention, the steps will be taken so that we can really eliminate these health disparities.
I want to ask you also about something. This is in reference to tennis star Serena Williams as it relates to the impact of wealth and or poverty and the intersection of race. So let me see if I can formulate this question so that it makes sense. We often talk about access or lack of access to health care, and in this particular case, maternal health care and race. But anyone who follows Serena Williams or knows anything about her, she is, you know, arguably the wealthiest Black female athlete on the planet, number one. She's married to one of the wealthiest men on the planet. And even though she's a Black woman, she had serious problems giving birth. She describes her near-death experience. Doctors discovered blood clots in her lungs, a hematoma in her abdomen. Obviously, you know, Dr. Rainford, you were not her doctor, but a lot of people are probably scratching their head that if this kind of issue can happen to Serena Williams, this can happen to anybody.
That is part of the fundamental problem, right? You can't educate your way out of the problem. You can't be too wealthy for a problem. And I did highlight her story in my book as well because it's such an incredible and important story. So, yes, when you have a cesarean section, I have to say you're at higher risk for complications if you have to have one. She had a high-risk condition, which made her higher risk for the complication that she had. The problem is, though, is everyone who cared for her should have known, in my opinion, that she was higher risk for that complication. So she should not have had to rely on so much self-advocacy or almost begging for the right test to be done when she's already high risk for the condition and the complication. And that's part of the problem. Black women are not listened to, not believed, and their concerns are not addressed in a timely manner for many Black women. And that is probably part of the implicit bias, or probably part of overt biases. And also probably the stresses that she feels on a day-to-day level in her pregnancy, during her pregnancy, probably also has a negative impact on how she does, how healthy she feels during her pregnancy. So could it have happened, what had happened to Serena? Yes, complications happen. But why did she have to advocate so hard for herself? That is a fundamental problem. It should have been something, oh, she has that history. We should be aware of it. Oh, she has this symptom. Then we should try to find out if it's that condition. I think more should have been done. Again, I wasn't there. I don't know the whole story, so I have to do a disclaimer on that because it's easy to, I guess, quarterback. But I just want to say that the reality for Black women is that they are not getting the appropriate care they need in the timely manner they need too often. And that happens over and over again, regardless of socioeconomic status.
But, you know, and see, now from a layperson's position, this presents a really difficult and I would argue even frightening quandary. Because, you know, for example, Dr. Boyle, if you are expecting, and you should not, you're not just expecting on the inside, you are expecting your doctor to know what to tell you. And you should, you know, the doctor has the MD, okay? You're just the pregnant person, okay? But you know, how do you get to the point where, I mean, and even in listening to this conversation that we're having right now, if, you know, if I am the, you know, the father or expectant father, and I'm listening and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, do I now need to give, you know, my partner's physician the third degree and, you know, go in for the next appointment and say, what are you not telling us? And I would be angry. I would be upset. I would be concerned.
Yeah, I think it's the onus is on the clinical staff to build and maintain trust with a pregnant person and their partner. And I can see what you're saying, how you'd be on edge wanting to know which questions to ask, what answers you need. And not everyone is equipped with that knowledge, and not everyone should be expected to.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Dr. Rainford, you know, even if, you know, again, if I were the father and, you know, my wife or my partner were pregnant, and I've been happy with you so far, but now, hey, Dr. Rainford's on the radio talking about this. This is a problem. I'm going to call you and I'm going to say, Dr. Rainford, what are you not telling me? what's going on? How can I make sure that my baby has two arms and two legs and two eyes and a nose? And, you know, now you're scaring me. Should Black women who want to have children or those that are pregnant, should they be scared?
You know, a lot of Black women come to me and say they are scared, and I don't want them to be. But this is what Black women can do, Black pregnant people can do. They can find culturally sensitive physicians, and that can be word of mouth. Howard trains a lot of physicians, so that's great. And what you find is that overall the statistics show that Black physicians give better care to Black patients. Again, probably is related to implicit bias. It's not that they're trained differently per se, but the implicit bias situation gets in the way of the care that Black people get. I also don't think that it is important. Education is important. And so it is important to ask the physician, the clinician questions about the pregnancy. If something is recommended, can you briefly tell me why this is recommended? I think it's important that you feel comfortable asking your clinician questions, because if you go to a clinician and you do not feel comfortable asking questions, I don't think that's good. I think that you should feel that it is like a partnership. You're going through together, the experience together. They're supporting you in this experience, and you should feel supported. And I think that it is possible to have those kind of relationships. I know that many patients have OB-GYN relationships where they're OB-GYNs that they value for life. So I think, including Black patients. So I think it's possible to find clinicians that care in the way that you need to be cared, that go the extra mile, that really try to do their best by you. Obviously, nobody's perfect. I am not promising perfection from anyone, but I think it can be better. And you strive to, you find them, you look for them, prepare, look for them, and then you tell people about them. You know, promote the people who are doing well.
Mm-hmm. One other thing, when I was kind of perusing the events this weekend, and this is really kind of ironic because there's this, you're having something called a community baby shower.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I have a cousin who he and his wife are expecting. Will, shout out to you. I'll be at the baby shower on Saturday with gift in hand. But and shout out to Elise as well for a healthy baby and all of that. But I think this is really interesting because one of the things that you're going to be discussing is products that support Black mothers during and after their pregnancies. And, you know, a lot of people, when it comes to baby showers, you know, they just want to go out and buy stuff. But I think it's really important for them to know what to buy and what not to buy.
Yeah, so we're going to have some vendors that have baby products at the community baby shower, and also some organizations that offer maternal support groups. That'll be some of the folks that are tabling, an organization that offers parenting classes. So we really wanted to not just raise awareness for the week and about the Black maternal health crisis, but also have some more joyous and product-driven options as well.
And certainly safe stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because there are so many products, you know, on the market, and unfortunately, as we know, we have seen bassinets that have been recalled. We have seen strollers that have been recalled, and so many other products that have been, on the surface, the perfect gift. But, you know, when you take a deep dive, they can be, you know, problematic and certainly in some cases unhealthy or dangerous. And so I think this would be a good place to go. I only have about a minute left. I will let you have the final word, you know, Dr. Rainford, on Black maternal health. What do Black women need to be most concerned about? What do they need to know?
I would say arm yourself with knowledge. Try to make sure that you investigate the practice or the physician or the midwife that you choose your care with. Find out about the hospital. Get a village to surround you. Get a doula to be your help with your advocacy. And take the very best care of you can in terms of eating healthy foods, exercise, stress reduction techniques. And empower yourself, again, I would go back to that, but empower yourself with knowledge.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great place to end this conversation. I want to thank both of you, Dr. Monique Rainford and Dr. Eve K. Boyle, for talking to us, and we hope that we were able to help the expectant mothers and those who want to be expectant mothers, not to mention, you know, some of the fathers out there, you know, they need to listen too. So it's always important to get that information out to them. So thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, April 10th. I'm Harold Fisher.